All right, everybody, welcome on in to the Auburn Daily Show. Lance Dahl, Dylan Lark hanging out here with you on this beautiful Monday afternoon in Auburn, Alabama. Not quite sure where we're going to take the show today, Dylan, but we've got a couple of topics at hand. You and I just spent about 25 minutes just shoot the bull on different topics that I think we honestly, we may save for some future shows if we don't talk about them today. But this month,
we basically just had a content meeting. Just like, oh, this could be a good episode in the future.
And we literally just didn't have any direction. We were just like, yeah, we were just spouting off things. And I'm like, man, what if we just did this for an episode in the future? Anyway, it is March, as we all know, one of the greatest months of the year, not for the weather, not for the pollen, but certainly for the basketball. As March Madness is just around the corner. SEC tournament coming up on Wednesday. Auburn basketball, going to talk quite a bit of it today. Going to talk about where they land in the latest bracketology. Also going to talk about the SEC tournament bracket, the all SEC teams, all that good stuff. Going to kind of get just shoot the bull, kind of talk about where we think Auburn's going to land. So I wrote an article just about an hour ago. If you want to go check it out over at auburndaily.com. Auburn basketball is firmly inside all of the latest bracketology projections. If you go to Bracket Mag, it's like bracketm.a.g, they show you every single bracket projection website out there. There's like 40 to 50. I think it's like 49 if I counted correctly. But I picked some of the ones that I thought were interesting and put them in here. Auburn 2011, 10-8 in the SEC, 3-9 versus quad one opponents. That's probably one of the biggest things here. Got a pretty solid net ranking, pretty solid BPI ranking. Their strength of schedule is great as well. But that quad one record, Dylan, 3-9 against quad one opponents. Six of those losses against quad one competition have come by 5 points or less. Bruce Pearl's talked about it a little bit. It's been a really tough season just against competition that's even to them. And they found themselves on the wrong side of the game pretty consistently. Hopefully that can change here as they've started to shoot significantly better heading into March.
Oh, yeah. And you say shoot better. I think that I've worded it as take better shots, because 33% is the high for this team right now, realistically, because that's just – this Auburn team just is what it is when it comes to shooting the three. This is not the Auburn Tigers of yesteryears. But, I mean, the Tennessee game in and of itself was a great performance. And hopefully you look at it like how we saw the Ole Miss game was – or the Missouri game, really. Look at that and you're like, how can this team build on this going forward? And you got Arkansas again in 3 days. And first time you took Arkansas, you – excuse me. You took them down and outstanding fashion, but this Arkansas team has gotten way better since January 7th.
Yep.
And I think that if Auburn's going to want to have a future in the March Madness tournament, as in going further than the round of 32 and getting to the Sweet 16, they're going to have to shoot the ball better, going to have to get Katie Johnson involved in the best way possible. I was very disappointed in the bench performance against Tennessee. Starting lineup absolutely destroyed the point total. I mean, four out of the five scored double-digit points. Of course, Wendell Green put up 24, but the bench put up 7 points. And if you're going to beat Arkansas after they've gotten way better since then, you are going to need Katie Johnson. You're going to need Dylan Carwell's out, I believe, still. But you're going to need players like Chris Moore. You're going to need Johan, who I thought stepped up very well defensively against Tennessee. You're going to need all those guys to step up in the point total.
I think it's interesting that you mentioned shot selection here, because that's been a problem for Auburn teams in the past. And something that Pearl said, I think, post-game after the Tennessee win on Saturday, is that this team, unlike any other team that he's at Auburn, has valued possessions. And I think at times this year, you can make the argument that, that's not like been consistent. I mean, we saw at the end of the Alabama game, Auburn once again, whenever things, you know, you needed players to clutch up, some questionable shot selection at best. I think that's that really is the term there. I think that we need to key in on here is Auburn making the right decisions on the offensive end, because they've got athleticism. They've got talent. They may not particularly have the best shooters, but they can make it work if they run the right stuff and run it properly. And this is something that I don't know if I've talked with you before, Dylan, about, is the fact that one of the big things with Pearl and his offensive system is something that he uses as a recruiting tactic is there's a lot of like free flowing things that you can do. There's a lot of like opportunity for the players to make their own decisions, especially when it comes to things like fast break, doing things in transition, stuff like that. This Auburn team, though, I feel like this year has been a little bit more under control by Pearl. If you look at what they did against Alabama, that may be one of the best games he's ever called, period.
Oh, yeah. Especially for, I mean, the amount of fouls Auburn got called on. But when I watched the Tennessee game, I saw Wendell Green, and he usually whenever he gets behind that three-point line, I'm like, oh, well, here we go. Here's a three. Mm-hmm. And it's either going to be, I'm going to be disappointed, and least amount of time, I'm going to be very happy because he drained it. But against Tennessee, I saw Wendell Green get the ball behind the arc, and instead of shooting a three, he drove in and kicked it out, or he drove in, took it up, and got an and one. The decision making is leagues better as the season has gone along, and you hope the Bama game went the other way around, but Auburn is probably in the best place they've been all season going into the tournament. And I think if this team can do it against Tennessee, get hot at the right time, I think this is probably the best time to get hot because you have your hardest games ahead of you.
Yep. Absolutely. You mentioned again, just making the right decisions. You remember the game where Auburn scored 43 against Tennessee? Since that game, they actually lead the SEC in 3-point shooting percentage. They're at like 37-38%. They've just been slowing things down, making the right choices. Katie Johnson, you talk about him being a valuable piece. Since the Texas A&M game on the 25th of January, he's been shooting almost 40% from three. He's shooting 39.5%. I mean, this team has found, I think, what they've needed, what Auburn teams in the past have needed, which is control. They've needed control and a little bit more. And I'm not saying these kids are undisciplined. By no means. Very, very solid on the defensive end. I'm saying on offensively, they've needed a little bit more structure. And I'm not saying that these kids are limited. I'm just saying if you put them in these situations and pace things, they become extremely efficient. Auburn scored on, I think it was 69 or 70% of their possessions in the second half against Tennessee. I mean, you take that. You take that. You run with it.
Yeah.
What was that, 49 points in the second half against UT?
Yes, I do believe
you scored 43 in the entire time you faced off against them first time. I mean, like that is significant growth from this squad. And that's the question, is whether or not they can genuinely continue to play the way that they have in years past in March. Last year was a little bit, I think, of an anomaly in the fact that Pearl and his extremely talented roster just kind of fell apart on offense. I'm not going to say that they got figured out, but once you start to limit Walker Kessler and what he did, especially getting him into foul trouble, once you start to play Jabari Smith up front and physical, kind of getting his grill, I mean, he was still an excellent shooter, but you can't rely on your front court to do everything. You needed your guard play to kind of supplement what your front court, honestly, in an average basketball team shouldn't be expected to do, and Auburn just kind of fell apart this year. You got a really solid front court with one of the best three-point shooters in this conference in Jalen Williams. You got Janiah Broom, who has been really solid in a variety of areas. But you need that guard play to step up. Wendell Green, like you mentioned, was like, 8 of 14 against Tennessee at 24 points, which tied a career high. Just a very solid outing for him. You're not going to see that game-to-game consistency. You're not going to see a kid shoot 8 of 14. But you would like to see your point guard not do what he did does in the past, which is rush things, which is not get into rhythm. And he ends up going, I believe, a consistent theme in most of Auburn's road losses this year is him going like 2 for 10. Like, he's gone 2 for 10 in like three of those games. He went 2 for 14 in one of them. He's got to find better shot selection. And I'm not saying he's a ball hog, but I can only imagine, as a teammate, the best that you can do is have conversations about the right shot selection, right? And kind of helping out the team. The worst that you can do is get upset with them and things get bad from there. I'm surprised that this team has not gotten to a point where they've gotten frustrated with each other over certain things. And I'm so glad that Pearl has kind of meshed things together. What feels like at the right time, who knows, Auburn could get blown out by 40 in their last two games here to end the season. But it does feel like things have kind of turned around.
Yeah, and we talk about how they stepped up decision making wise and offensively, defensive. This team is awesome on defense, mm-hmm. and I think they've finally found a stride on defense. You have Wendell Green, who we thought the defense was his weakest part of his game, is getting two steals against Tennessee, and the bench for defense is kind of loaded. Johan Traer stepped up where Dylan Cardwell kind of struggles. He shut down the paint whenever he was in for Tennessee. Chris Moore, I have been uber impressed with his defensive game the past two games. He shut down Tennessee's forwards. He even locked up Brandon Miller when Jani Broome was in foul trouble. And if you don't know, Brandon Miller was SEC Player of the Year, SEC Freshman of the Year. And Chris Moore kind of shut him down defensively. I mean, the fouls, if you look, Brandon Miller scored 11 of his 17 points from the free throw line. But Chris Moore did not let him score those twos, those mid-range, those three-pointers. Chris Moore was in his face the entire time. And another player, defensive-wise, Trey Donaldson.
Yep.
He looks like the second coming of Zeb Jasper. He gets in your face. He's the next Honey Badger because he is a ferocious defender. And I'm looking at this team next year, and the defense is there and going to need more shooters. And I think you're going to get them Aiden Holiday. But the future is about a couple months from now. And we're looking into you're going to need another consistent Alan Flanagan games. You're going to need more consistent Jani Broome games. And, I mean, Wendell Green, he's coming off of back-to-back games where he didn't even hit double digits, and he get 24 this game. So Auburn, I feel like, is in the right place at the right time with this one. And I'm looking for a run.
Yes, sir. You talk about runs. That's actually what I was about to get to. I completely agree with you with what you're saying about this bench. It defensively, I mean, it's great. It's about as good as it gets with him. I would say any rotation in college basketball, if you can sub in five guys that you feel confident in each, every individual one of them from a defensive perspective, whenever Auburn in practice, whenever I watch them sub in these guys, like you're talking about, like watching the Tennessee practice, they had like Traore, Donaldson, Johnson, Moore. And I forget the fifth player, but they would rotate in. I'm like, all right, well, this is just straight up. Like, I appreciate what they're doing on offense, and I'm really eager to see what guys like Trey Donaldson do in the future for Auburn. Because I think something that he has that a lot of guards that Auburn has had in the past have also had is upper body control. I mean, he is just very solid with the ball in his hands, and I think that he's extremely raw right now, but he's probably going to develop into what I think could be a very, like you said, Zepp Jasper kind of, you know, just under control type of player. But these lineups that Auburn has had where they sub in and you see Donaldson at the point, you see guys like Dylan Cardwell at the five, you see guys like Johan and Chris, right, come in. Katie Johnson is also somebody that's been solid on the defensive end. I mean, those moments in those games, you just expect, all right, this part of the team's going to hold their own. If they can find a little bit of a scoring run in them, I mean, like that it's not game, but it's like it significantly helps your cause for what you want to do. Like you saw in those moments against Alabama, Trey got in early, Donaldson got in, they subbed early, and the rotation was just beautiful. I mean, everybody was executing so well. I'm very excited to see, like you said, the future, what these pieces that are moving on and growing up do. Because right now we've kind of been, I don't want to say in a rut, but in a time period where you've had some more experienced guards, right? You've had two full seasons now where you've had guys that have been around the block and understand what they're doing. And now you head into a third year with what likely should be another year for guys like Wendell Green. I mean, I'm just with Trey also with him in the backcourt, I'm intrigued to see Holloway, Donaldson, Green. I mean, you expect somebody to transfer out. I don't know who that would be. But man, this roster, this backcourt, I don't want to say it's loaded, but there's a lot of depth, I think, is what you're going to be excited about.
And let's not forget, Chance Westry might be coming back, and yep. Johan Traor in the front court is probably going to be getting those starting minutes, probably at the center position, maybe at the four is probably where he's going to be at. But I kind of like him at the five because, I mean, he's been a defensive monster when he gets in. And when I look at Johan, he's been one of my favorite players to talk about all season because he's either playing amazingly or he is benched for 4 weeks in a row and he comes back and doesn't play as well. But I think Johan is in need of serious development,
yep,
which isn't a bad thing. That's not me digging on Johan Treyer. I think the talent is there. I think he is going to be the next great player at Auburn, but he needs development. He needs to start putting points up on the board. And if he finds a stride in the March Madness and SEC tournament, I mean, giving Jani Broome a quality defender under the basket is pretty helpful to this team.
I completely agree with what you're saying about Treyer. Is you have not, for a kid that was a five-star forward coming out of high school, I think a lot of people expected him to not fill Jabari Smith's shoes, but to fill that role as far as being that four, right? That could kind of shoot and maybe do some things for Auburn. At least that's what he was tabbed as from my perspective coming out of high school after that flip from LSU. And statistically, you just have not seen much of anything. But what you do see is, first of all, the athleticism and what Pearl has continued to say about him. He's raw. He's learning. If you go and actually watch some of these practices and you go and watch what Treyer, he is still, even to this day, learning how to run plays, how to get better positioning, how to defend. He's still trying to pick up on all these things, and he's doing a good job. Like against Tennessee, he did a good job. He's continuing to grow. And so just giving him some more time, I think, is what he does need. And again, you give him this season, not next year, you give him somebody like Jani Broome to pair up with, where you have that solid rotation. If, like you said, he can get a little bit more scoring, that's a great front court. I mean, that's a really good front court. So we have all of those thoughts on Auburn heading into the SEC tournament. Right now, according to various places, whether you look on Auburn Daily, where we've got a few different projections here from different sources, you go to Bracket Mag, Auburn is somewhere between 11 or a 7 seed. But to be honest with you, Auburn's probably going to end up being somewhere like a 10 or a 9 if things shake out the way that we project them to. ESPN has Auburn as an 11 seed, which is interesting because, like I mentioned earlier, there's like, 49 different websites that do bracket projections, and ESPN is one of three that has Auburn as an 11 seed, which would shock you for the nation's worldwide leader in sports to be so out on Auburn. And it's going to be funny if Auburn ends up being an 11 seed, but I'm just saying, like, there are so many other places that are so much higher on Auburn. That it just kind of shocks me that that's where ESPN currently has him.
I mean, it's nothing much. I mean, Auburn is in. That's what, yep, you got to look at. The positive, yep, is this: Auburn is in. I think no matter what, I think that's what become. Tennessee was a we win, we in scenario.
Yeah.
So, and Auburn can really go up from here. I mean, there's nowhere to go but up.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, if Auburn finds a way to, you know, stay hot in the tournament, win it somehow, get past the buzzsaw that is Coach Buzz, Auburn could probably jump up to, a 6th seed?
If they win, possibly. Yes, absolutely. They could definitely – they could make a legitimate climb here at the end. I think you talk about momentum in the tournament, though, Dylan. CBS Sports right now, you know, two different regions have games in Birmingham. And as of right now, Auburn is slated to play in that 8-9 matchup, according to Jerry Palm, in Birmingham, and they would be facing off against Houston in the second round, or Alabama, depending on how things shake out. All I've got to say is, hey, if you can get past a team like Iowa, you can get past them, who have been extremely hot and cold shooting the basketball. Like, one day, like one stretch, they'll have like just be pitiful from three. And then they scored 115 against Michigan State the other day in double overtime. Like, I don't get the Hawkeyes, but yeah, if you can get out of that and you can play a team like Houston in Birmingham, I mean, that is a home game. That's such a great opportunity for Auburn. So yeah, there's so many different great ways that this could play out for Auburn to pick up wins and get to a place like the Sweet 16, a place like the Elite Eight. Got to take care of business first, though, Dylan, and I want to take a look at this SEC tournament bracket in just a second. Before we do that, though, I want to tell you guys about our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks can help you bring some fun and variety to your picks for 2023. It is a free app that allows you to choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport in your wagers. You can predict the over or under for the next game and win big prizes if they do well. Prize Picks also has things like flex options where you can still get paid winning only 3 of 5 or 2 of 3 of your picks. You can also have multiple sports in the same parlay. Best of all, you can use promo code Auburn to receive double on your first deposit up to $100. That's promo code Auburn for double on your first deposit. Obviously, college basketball is the big thing right now, Dylan, but I actually have a very brief story to tell about Prize Picks. When I first got in with Prize Picks last year, I was doing a little bit of like MLB baseball. I put together a 6-leg parlay with a bunch of different baseball statistics from various games. It was the first time I'd ever done it. This is not a bit. This is not a part of the read. I'm dead serious. I asked one of my close friends who knew quite a bit about Braves baseball and other things, like where should, like, okay, how do I feel about this? How do I feel about that? Picked overs and unders and stuff. And it hit all the way through.
Ooh.
6-leg parlay. And I was just like, all right, it's never going to top this. But I've had a lot of fun with Prize Picks since then. Again, would highly encourage you guys just to check that out. And you, again, use promo code Auburn for up to $100 back on your first deposit. So we've talked bracketology. We've talked where Auburn's going to be seated. Like you said, just kind of straightforward. Auburn's in. That's kind of what matters at this point. But this SEC basketball tournament, you could climb to some really interesting heights, like you mentioned a minute ago, Dylan, if you do take down some of these teams. So the SEC standings, just going to briefly run through this, are as follows. You've got Alabama at 1, A&M at 2, Kentucky at 3. Missouri ended up being the 4 seed because they actually held a tiebreaker over the Tennessee Volunteers. Both those teams, Tennessee and Missouri, finished 11-7. In league play. Vanderbilt also finished 11-7 in league play. They are the sixth seed in this bracket. Auburn is 7th. Florida is 8th. Mississippi State is 9th. Arkansas, surprisingly, is 10th. Georgia is 11th. South Carolina is 12th. Ole Miss is 13th. And LSU is 14th. Auburn's in the second round Thursday, March 9th. They're going to be playing at 6 p.m. on the SEC Network against number 10 Arkansas. Auburn, again, the 7th seed. I'm not quite sure how I feel about this matchup, Dylan. I'm sure we're going to be talking about this a lot as the week goes on here. But the Tigers got a tough matchup, and then they've got a team that they were blown out by first go around, and then they were hosed by officiating the second time around. So I'm curious to see how the Tigers handle this one.
Yeah, me too. I think Auburn doesn't really match up well against Arkansas on paper. I'm looking at the FPI for ESPN. ESPN has given Arkansas a 55.8% chance to win this game, which isn't a lot, but the spread's also not out yet. Auburn could definitely be the underdog in this game, and I think they will be, just because Arkansas has been playing some pretty good basketball as of late, and I feel like Auburn got a really bad draw with Arkansas, and then if they beat Arkansas, Buzz over there in College Station has a way of finding a reason or some kind of way to beat Bruce Pearl teams. So if Auburn somehow gets out of Arkansas unscathed, I'm going to be worried about the next game. And then after that, you got Kentucky or whoever wins that. And then you're also going to be a little worried. And then obviously move on to the championship. Yeah. Auburn has the toughest path to the championship, I think, of any team. And that they don't even they have a one less game than some teams. And I still feel like they have the hardest seeding in the SEC tournament.
You look at the Hogs right now, their season has kind of been a tale of just up and down and up and down with some injuries to go along with it. Nick Smith is a guy that was injured for the majority of this season. He's only played 12 games, started 9 of them. He is back in his first game, I think, truly back healthy, where he was just like revving to go and ready. He scored, 26 against Alabama. Arkansas lost that game by 3. They lost to Tennessee on the road in a game that I thought Arkansas could have won, but they ended up losing. And then they lost. The weirdest thing, man, about Arkansas is the first time they played Kentucky, they ran to the rim and they exploded from inside the arc. And then against Kentucky, I was previewing this game on my podcast, Locked On Kentucky Podcast, and I'm like, there's no way Kentucky is able to attack the rim like Arkansas did last game. And then Arkansas lost at home to Kentucky to end the regular season 88-79. Kentucky shot 62% from inside the arc. They were 25 of 40 on two-point attempts. Arkansas, meanwhile, you want to guess what they were on layups? Just take a stab.
On layups?
Yes.
Oh, if it's a question
They took 20 layups. How many of them did they make?
I'm going to say nine.
Two.
Oh.
They were 2 of 20 on layups against Kentucky in their most recent game.
Oh, my God.
Let that sink in. Sink walks in the door. Anyway, I'm just so confused with Arkansas. They've got so much talent. I mean, so much talent. They're long, they're quick, they're physical. They got some really cool players, right? But I don't get it sometimes, man. It's similar to teams like Kentucky. I'm like, you have all the talent in the world. What is stopping you? Like, genuinely.
It's similar to teams like Auburn.
Yeah, you have all the talent in the world. Oh, well, it's the shooting. And Arkansas actually is one of the worst three-point shooting teams in this conference, actually just right above Auburn, if I'm not mistaken. So,
I would say we're not doing a preview of the game right now. I think.
But
Jahni Broom is going to be the key factor for the Auburn Tigers in hoping and praying they can move on to the third round of the SEC tournament.
Can confirm.
I don't think a team like Arkansas is going to miss 18 layups again, but having Jahni Broom in premier shot blocking form would be very beneficial to Auburn if they're more reliant on the two pointers than the three.
It's going to be, like you said, a very difficult road. Arkansas, just a very weird team to figure out. KenPom has Arkansas winning this game by one, but they give Arkansas a 54% chance to beat them. Like you said, ESPN's power index says 55%. So this is kind of a coin flip, but, you know, athleticism and the fact that Nick Smith is back is kind of what I think these different metric systems are kind of leaning on. Nick Smith has been scoring a lot of points for Arkansas on pretty inefficient shooting. I mean, he's sub 40% from the field so far. So I'm curious to see what his matchup looks like with Auburn. 6'5" guard there for the Razorbacks. Very talented. Again, so much five-star talent on this team. Some really solid transfer pieces as well. Just weird to see them finish 8-10 in league play. But you've got Arkansas. Then you have Texas A&M, a team that Auburn just doesn't match up well with, but ended up playing very valiantly against on the road last time they faced off. But again, it's kind of hard to win a game when your opponent takes 39 free throws as opposed to your, like, what, 14?
Yeah.
It's not a recipe for success whenever officials just call the game like that. And I think Auburn can definitely overcome that at a neutral site, I feel like. And with the way that they're shooting the basketball right now, I think Auburn could definitely win that game. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, well, then Auburn's going to win that, like, definitively. But they can definitely take it to them, I think.
I mean, I was there on the last neutral site game between Texas A&M when the SEC tournament last season didn't really go Auburn's way.
Yeah, that was a fun game, wasn't it? I remember I was, whenever I flew down to Tampa last year, I had like pretty bad allergies. I normally don't, but have you ever gotten allergies to where like you've got, like you can't hear? Like, I don't think it was an ear infection. It had to have been allergies. I couldn't hear. And whenever I was on the plane, forgot to bring earplugs or something. Dylan, whenever I say I couldn't hear, I'm not trying to be dramatic. I literally couldn't understand what people are saying. And what was worse is I had allergies and something was going on in my throat. I couldn't speak. It was just the worst time of my life with Auburn losing the way that they did, with just the way the entire trip went. I'm hoping that we get a complete 180 from what happened on the SEC tournament last year. Never play it in Tampa, by the way. Don't ever do that again. That sucked. Don't ever play in Tampa again. The only great experience about that was some Domino's pizza that I got. That was it, period.
Hey, from what I heard, a Kentucky basketball fan, he had some words of wisdom. He looked over to his buddy and said, you know, he was talking about Amalie Arena. He said, this could be a really good hockey arena. And I look at that and I'm like, that dude is ahead of the game.
He understands. He's been here before.
The hockey puck outside of the arena did not tell the man it was already a hockey arena.
Little did he know it was already a hockey arena. So Auburn, again, pretty tough spot. If they do beat A&M, they'd have to face off against what likely would be Kentucky in the semifinals, and then they would play probably Alabama. Again, there's a path, but it's a tough one. We'll probably do bracket projections at some point this week. So keep yourself posted for those. The final thing I want to get to here, Dylan, is the postseason awards for the all SEC teams and stuff like that that were just announced like just a little bit ago. So normally you have your coach of the year in the SEC. I kind of expected Nate Oates to be here, but it's co-coach of the year, and it's Buzz Williams from Texas A&M and Jerry Stackhouse of Vanderbilt that were the two selections here. Which is interesting because, I mean, Vanderbilt, they did finish the season strong. They won 8 out of their last 9 games to finish 11-7 in league play. Vanderbilt has, I guess, just been that bad for quite some time now that if they ended up getting a solid record in SEC play, they're just, like, hanging in the whatever. Like Kevin Stallings went, like, what, 10-6 in 2012. And like since then, it's just kind of been downhill. They went 0-18 a few years ago, and I don't really get why all of a sudden we've just decided, oh, Vanderbilt has a mid season, then it's worthy of SEC co-coach of the year. But that's where we're at.
I mean, I'm with it. I think Buzz Williams probably would have been my pick just because A&M was just that good this year. I mean, they 2-seed in the SEC tournament, which it's really unheard of from the past few years.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry Stackhouse. I mean, I love Stackhouse to death, but I feel like it should have just been a one coach of the year thing with Buzz Williams as my dog was trying to get into my trash as I speak. But I can't be mad about who won coach of the year.
Yeah, I can't either. I like what Stackhouse runs. I'm just saying from an 18-13 team's perspective, I mean, it's exciting from an Auburn fan's perspective, a little confused.
I mean, if Clark Lee at Vanderbilt won like 7 games and won a bowl game, he'd also win SEC Coach of the Year in football.
That's fair. Yeah, no, I get that. Player of the Year was Brandon Miller of Alabama, really gunning for that award. Killer season for him. Props to Miller for taking that one there. Kobe Brown of Missouri was the Scholar Athlete of the Year. Didn't ask. Freshman of the Year was Brandon Miller again. Co-Sixth Man of the Year was Javon Quinterly and Antonio Reeves. Antonio Reeves, by the way, against Arkansas, dropped 37 points. Just want to point that out. Kentucky's got a flamethrower going into the SEC tournament. And then Liam Robbins of Vanderbilt was the DPOY, which kind of surprised me, but I do like Robbins. I'm not a Vandy hater. I've got friends at Vandy. I just want to be clear. I'm just kind of confused by this pick. First team, Auburn did not have a player. You had Miller, Castleton, Shibwe, and Tolu Smith as kind of your front court there. Tennessee's Santiago Vescovi, Texas A&M's Wade Taylor, Vanderbilt's Liam Robbins, 2 Auburn Tigers on the second team, Jani Broome, Wendell Green Jr., 2 players from Arkansas, Anthony Black, Ricky Council. We got Mark Sears from Bama, who I think had a pretty daggum solid season. KJ Williams from LSU, Zakai Ziegler from Tennessee, Tyrese Radford from A&M, the all-defensive team. Did not feature an Auburn Tiger. The all-freshman team did not feature an Auburn Tiger as well. So the only 2 selections for Auburn were the second team players, again, Jani Broome and Wendell Green Jr. Does that surprise you, Dylan? Do you think Auburn maybe could have gotten another player elsewhere? Is that fair?
I think it's fair. I don't know if anybody on Auburn. Jay Will would have been probably been the closest selection, but he also had some on and off games. I mean, I feel like if they would have went to a third team, I think Jay Will definitely would have been there. Yep. Defensive team, I kind of think Jani Broome should have been listed as like a 4 for that one.
Yep.
I'm not too familiar. I should probably have Liam Robbins' stats in front of me, but I don't. But I think that Jani Broome has been that premier shot blocker. I think he's in the top. He's at least in the top 10 of the NCAA in shot blocks per game. So I think that alone should have him in contention for the defensive team. But I mean, I guess second team all defense, I guess he'd be there. I guess Wendell Green might be there too. He had a lot of steals this year. You know, just fill up the second team defense with like Zeb Jasper, Wendell Green, Jani Broome, the works.
Jedi Broom averaged 2.7 blocks per game this year. Another player on that all defensive team, Charles Bediako, averaged 1.5. So Broom almost averaged an entire block more than him. Also, I want to say, Bediako averaged 5.7 points and 5.6 rebounds to Broom's 14 and 8. That makes almost no sense now that I'm looking at this. I am perplexed, to say the very least.
And if you're going to say the defense is not a stat thing, then Zeb Jasper should definitely be a first-team defender, because he doesn't get the stats, but he'll lock up anybody. I mean, he locked up Vescovi whenever he was on him against Tennessee.
Yeah, I guess Bediako just found himself in the right place at the right time consistently in the paint there, and Broom just didn't, I guess, but you know, it is what it is. Hate that for Broom. He'll get two more cracks at it, though. He's a sophomore. He'll get two more cracks at it. Yeah. So, any other thoughts here before we head out, Dylan?
Good luck to the Auburn Tigers against Arkansas, because I'll probably be previewing that game on Wednesday.
Please, Wendell Green, don't go 2-for-10. Auburn, please shoot a decent percentage from three. They were shooting 81% against Alabama with like 10 minutes left in that game.
Then they got behind for a little bit and just started throwing them up.
They said instead of Kobe, they kept like Jared, Bryce,
Shaq.
It don't work. Anyway, you can follow us on Twitter at your boy the tank for Dylan, at @LanceDaw_ for me. You can also follow all of our written work over at auburndaily.com. Make sure you check us out on our YouTube channel if you're not subscribed already, or if you're listening on podcasts, just go sub. Not even going to give you a reason, just go do it. This is a command, not a plea. It may be me begging on other episodes though in the future. We will see you all tomorrow for another episode of the Auburn Daily Show. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and God bless.